In this age of press releases and emails, not to mention iPods and iTunes, it's amazing how many compact discs promoting artists new and old still find their way into our mailboxes. Sometimes these arrivals include a true gem. NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg got such a musical delivery the other day.
It's a CD called Language. The singer is Lorraine Feather.
They're not up on the dresser. I've looked and they're not underneath the bed or in the laundry. Pardon me while I go out of my head.
The poor thing is obviously pretty upset about something.
They're not in any pocket. Thank God I didn't lock them in the car, but I'm so late now. And I'd appreciate your help if you might have any clue to where they are. Where are my keys?
Oh, that's it. Sound familiar? Lorraine Feather has lost her keys.
Where are my keys? I'd give anything if I could find mine.
Lorraine Feather sings about life's ordinary aggravations, losing keys, losing focus, losing grip. She joins us from KUOW in Seattle. Hi, Lorraine.
Hi, Susan.
Now, this is a song that every single one of us could sing, Where Are My Keys? But we do it if only we had your voice. Everybody's had this experience, but what led you to write a song about it? And by the way, all these lyrics are yours.
I wrote this song because I am very absent-minded. It was written, by the way, with Tony Morales, who's my husband, and Terry Sampson. And more than almost anything I've written over the years, people have said, it's the funniest thing because my fill-in-the-blank wife, husband, girlfriend is always losing his keys. But often when I'm working on a song, I think of one line that amuses me or a title. And I just decide to take it from there. Tony had put together this track, and I started singing Where Are My Keys over the chorus part. And it just kind of tickled me, so I made it into a song.
You also write about another kind of low-level panic.
I was stuck in a rut, and I was explaining to you how I had this fear that in 30 years I'd be frail, destitute, and alone. Nothing to show for my life, nothing. Living in a house of cats, afraid to go to the store, not so attractive anymore. I was going on about it at great length. All of a sudden I stopped and sighed, and you replied, I can hear every word you say, but it's very unbecoming. Now and again you may feel that way, but it's very unbecoming.
This poor thing, she is a wreck, and that's his response?
That was inspired by somebody who was complaining to us many years ago, saying, oh, this person really screwed me over, and then this happened, and it always seems to happen to me, and it was so unfair. And after he walked away, we looked at each other. I said, gee, it's all too bad. And Tony said, yes, but it's very unbecoming, isn't it?
but you know,
and I've said things unbecoming as well, of course.
There's so much to worry about. It can take up absolutely all your time. The cruel tricks of...
You have such pretty harmony.
The decline of music, the way the world is run.
The harmonies are me with Janice Siegel and Cheryl Benteen of the Manhattan Transfer. We sang together on the Dick Tracy soundtrack, and I asked them to participate in the album on a couple of tracks, and it was really fun. We just screamed with laughter.
Well, I think it makes the song even funnier because it's so frantic to to have these pretty chords, you know, sort of the juxtaposition of the two. In other annoyances, Lorraine Feather, you write about the telephone call that never gets answered by a live human being.
She said, thanks for calling. This is a recording, but don't be nervous. Our goal is to provide you with excellent service. Please forgive us. No one would intentionally overstrain you. Some music from the 80s will entertain you. We appreciate your patience, and we promise you a customer care representative will be with you shortly. We appreciate...
You're singing about life on eternal hold, right? And that annoying computer voice with this fake concern and the fake manners.
And now they've humanized the voice so that if you say something it doesn't understand, it'll go, oh, no, I'm sorry, I didn't get that. Could you please run that by me again? So it's even scarier.
Right. Tell us about you, Lorraine Feather. Where'd you get that great sense of humor, for starters?
Oh, I don't know exactly, but my parents both had a whimsical sense of humor, dry. My father, who was the jazz critic Leonard Feather, would make fun sometimes if I said, I think I'll go down to the drugstore. He would go, when will you know? That kind of thing, to torment me right through my whole childhood. And my mom had a dry, strange, quirky little sense of humor, too. So I picked up a lot of it from them, I guess.
Well, your dad, I mean, he was a legend in his day, a writer of jazz and a writer about jazz and a producer, a composer. So was it inevitable that you would be a musician?
In a way, looking back, maybe it was inevitable. I tried to be an actress, and I spent a tremendous amount of time waitressing in New York, and then fell into singing with top 40 and jazz bands just because I always had a good ear. And it was a way to make a few bucks to pay for groceries other than waitressing, which I really was terrible at. Then eventually I started writing lyrics for fun, and it just struck me like a thunderbolt. I loved doing it so much. So it just took over my life.
I came here hoping to be a Broadway star. Another Templeton Dewey ingenue wound up waiting tables when all humanity backs up at the bar. Some nights there's nothing I wouldn't rather do than be here waiting tables.
I am willing to bet that nobody has ever written a song about waiting on tables. You are going to be the hero of every actor wannabe in America.
I would love that. I was so bad at waiting tables, and there are a lot of people who are good at more than one thing. Like, I always remember that Bette Midler said she's great at keeping house. She can make a very tight bed that you can bounce a dime on. And there have been people who went on to other things who were fantastic at waiting tables, but I was not good at it. It was a very interesting time, though. I learned a lot.
Like?
Well, I learned that people can be very rude and condescending. And I learned that it's probably good to stay away from the bar fruit because it's been there for longer than it should be. And also, I'm a good tipper. I wouldn't tip somebody 10% unless they actually spit in my face.
Do people come up to you all the time and say, listen, this awful thing just happened. Why don't you write a song about it?
Yeah, or I'll say something like, I got this eco-friendly nail polish and it doesn't have any formaldehyde and it's water-based, but it's just coming off my nails in sheets. They go, oh, you could write a song about that.
So in this CD now, you have covered losing your keys, sitting on phone hold, waiting tables, traffic, weather. So what is on your list of other life experiences that are minor but just could become major at any moment, and those to put on your next CD?
Oh, well, I was thinking, this isn't really an annoyance, but I was thinking that I might like to write a song about my reluctance to give up drinking coffee because people are always saying it's bad for you, but I really like having that jolt in the morning.
So would the annoyance be when they ran out of coffee?
No.
We got traffic and weather, traffic and weather.
She'll think of something, maybe when she's stuck in traffic.
They're always together.
Thank you very much. Lorraine Feather's new album is called Language. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.
Your way, brackish clouds moving inland. Soon you'll think you're in Finland. Still recover from the outages in Walnut Creek. We might have told you different, but it'll rain all week.
And you can hear full songs from Lorraine Feather's new album at our music website, npr.org/music. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.